can we end workplace sexual harassment? It's a big, pervasive problem all over the world, but it's worse in some places than in others. And Lagos is one of those some places. Yesterday's Big Hard Fact, a 2019 study reported a prevalence rate of sexual harassment in Lagos workplaces of 73.7%. So a study done in 2019, conducted in 2019, reported a prevalence rate of sexual harassment in Lagos workplaces of 73.7%. What that means is that 15 out of 20 workplaces in Lagos have had sexual harassment issues. Now, you may be saying, no, not my office, so I've never seen anybody report it. That's because the vast majority of sexually harassed people do not report it. That's one of the findings of a new study that was just published by Stand to End Rape. And that's a study that we're going to be talking about for the rest of the hour. We're going to be discussing what STEAR found out about the prevalence of harassment, what forms it takes, how people respond to it, how workplaces are handling it. Spoiler alert, they're not handling it. And after that, we're also going to talk about what your workplace should be doing about sexual harassment. What should an anti-sexual harassment policy look like? Joining me to talk about this study, talk about its recommendations, talk about workplace sexual harassment in Nigeria, is the communications manager at Stand to End Rape, Bisayo Aderigbigbe. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
And Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. Let's have your questions about this study. Let's talk about workplace sexual harassment and your questions about workplace sexual harassment. Tell us your views as well. Have you witnessed or faced sexual harassment at work? How was it handled? Does your workplace have anti-sexual harassment policies? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Bisayo, the Senate has passed a bill outlawing sexual harassment in universities, but not in workplaces in general. Lagos State Government has passed an anti-sexual harassment law. Currently, the federal laws can be... I don't know, are there even any federal laws that can be interpreted as forbidding sexual harassment?
No, for now, we don't have any basic law that actually handles or tackles workplace sexual harassment.
Okay.
So basically what we have now is just the normal ratifications. We have like about 40 ratifications that have already been done from the International Labour Organization.
Okay.
So that's just probably the normal code of conduct at the workplace, but nothing really, really tackles workplace sexual harassment.
I see. Now, Lagos, we're streaming this conversation live on Facebook and YouTube if you want to watch the live show. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. I think there's a phone close to a mic and it's affecting the signal, so can we move the phone away? Thank you. Now, could you talk to us about the study? Briefly tell us how this study was conducted.
Okay, so in 2020, in the later part of 2020, Stand to End Rape Initiative conducted a study on workplace sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And this was preempted by other studies that were done. We saw a high prevalence rate in the results show the high prevalence rate of workplace sexual harassment. One study was done in the legal sector.
Mm-hmm.
It had about 63.5%
in the legal sector.
Yeah,
in Nigeria.
In Nigeria.
In the legal sector.
Yeah, exactly.
Legal.
Legal sector.
One
for
legal.
Emphasizing that it was done in the legal sector, and we the result was 63.5%.
Mm-hmm.
The prevalence rate, and also across other employment sectors in Lagos State.
Mm-hmm.
The result was about 73.7% prevalence rate of workplace sexual harassment.
Mm.
So we saw this as a red flag, and we decided to conduct our own study as well. So when we did our study, we surveyed around 493 participants all across Nigeria, and we made sure they were involved in some form of formal employment.
Mm-hmm.
over the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. That's prior to when we did the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a prevalence rate of 64%.
Mm.
So 64% of our participants reported that they had been sexually harassed at one point in time in their workplace.
In their workplace.
Yes, exactly. And about 85% of these participants who reported positively about being sexually harassed
mm-hmm.
were women, and 15% of them were men.
Mm.
So men can actually be sexually harassed too. But mm. even though from our studies, we've seen that it's on a really small scale.
Mm.
Another shocking fact of the that came out from the survey is 91% of the perpetrators were male.
Okay.
Yeah, and 9% were women, were female.
Okay.
So I know people always say, oh, okay, workplace sexual harassment, it has to be probably your boss, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's looked at as a hierarchical kind of
situation.
Mm-hmm. But 48% of these people were the peers, you know, your normal peers.
Mm.
41% were senior colleagues.
Mm.
10% were clients or customers of the organization.
Mm.
And 1% were junior colleagues.
Hmm. Now, while respondents from all working age brackets and from both genders reported sexual harassment, they were still overwhelmingly young and female, and their harassers were overwhelmingly male. What factors account for this? How should this information affect how policies are crafted?
Okay, thank you for that question, Sandra. So first of all, sexual harassment, sexual assault, it's always used as a form of oppression,
okay.
right? And in describing oppression, there has to be like an oppressor and the oppressed. And the oppressor hinges on vulnerability. So that's why most of the praise are normally young,
mm-hmm.
you know, they are looked at as the weaker sex, or looked at as weak people who cannot really, really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what predators or perpetrators dwell on is silence. They like to create fear in whoever they are trying to victimize,
mm-hmm.
you understand, or abuse. They create fear. So imagine a child of, let's say, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I will kill you if you tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, different kind of threats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like a tool for perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
They try to use fear, and they look out for vulnerable people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad that it's very, very young people, mm-hmm. ages of like 1 to 18,
mm-hmm.
who really, really are really affected by this issue.
Yeah, but I mean, those ones are not in the workplace. I'm talking about those that we found in the workplace now, right? So your respondents from all the working age brackets and from both genders that reported harassment were still overwhelmingly young people, right?
Exactly.
So my question is, so we have fear on the one hand. Are there other factors that account for the fact that their harassers were overwhelmingly male, even though these women who are in the workplace are young and female? And then the second part of that question is, how should this information affect how policies are crafted, maybe to protect them, maybe to shield them? I don't know.
Okay, so I talked about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And another aspect, or why they are actually overwhelmingly female,
mm-hmm.
is because probably they are looked at as probably sexually attractive.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, oh, okay, let me even try my luck with this lady. Or
okay.
So it's most of the time it's because of that.
Okay.
That fact. And for policies that can be implemented to protect women, there are a lot of international laws that can actually help curb this, which is one of which is the ILO C-190.
Okay.
It prevents, or it prohibits, any act of violence or sexual harassment in the workplace. So it's one of the things that can actually be implemented in Nigeria.
Okay. Before we go on, I want to look at a part of your reports that says only 9% of respondents who were harassed reported the incident to workplace authorities, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to come to that question. I want to find out what you think are the reasons for this low figure, what workplaces can do to increase this figure, but that's an eventual question. But before we move further, I think that for the benefit of those who are listening who don't even know whether they're guilty of this or whether they have experienced this, it may be helpful to define what sexual harassment in the workplace is.
Yeah. So sexual harassment is basically any form of unwelcome advance from another party. It can be verbal, it can be physical, it can be just you staring at someone, stalking someone. All those are non-verbal. It can be you blocking the path of someone in the office, giving crude comments about someone's dress, someone's body, giving unwelcome gifts, like intimate gifts.
Okay.
It can be you sending someone sexually suggestive images at the workplace.
Okay.
So it's not just... it's not just verbal. It's also you. Someone also persistently asking you out. Please, let's go for drinks. Says I'm not going. I've told your person it's okay.
Okay.
You understand? So stop. Just, you know, all those forms of sexual harassment, any unwelcome advance
In the workplace. Now, some people are listening to you right now and they're saying, we're allowed to compliment people. Where do you draw the line between a compliment? When does it cross the line from complimenting somebody to now I'm sexually harassing you? When I buy you a gift, when does it cross the line from I'm buying you a gift because I like you to you're stalking me, you're sexually harassing me? When does it cross the line from I'm being persistent, I'm going after what I want, to no, I really don't want you, this is sexual harassment now? Like, at what point does it cross that line?
Okay, so first of all, it's you have to know where to draw the line. Like you said, I'm buying you gifts. How do I know if it's I can buy you a normal gift, like any gift that is not intimate, right?
Okay.
So it's us just using our
discretion
to know, this I can't be buying my male colleague boxers or buying him a condom. There are some things that are actually sexually suggestive or like kind of really, really personal.
Okay.
That it's really, really not my business buying him those gifts.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing where to draw the line, your body tone, the tone of your voice, your body, what do you say, body language. Yes.
Okay.
Just knowing where to draw the boundaries and draw the line and say, and the person actually might not even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people actually say, I'm just joking with you now. Stop it, you know?
Okay.
And, but it's your duty to tell the person that stop, I don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that communication has to be there.
Mm.
So once you tell the person the first time and the person is not
person doesn't back off.
Exactly. If the person doesn't back off, then
then it's crossed the line
exactly
to sexual harassment. Okay, then.
The
if you just tuned into the show, Lagos, good evening. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Today's big hard fact is from a 2019 study that reported a prevalence rate of sexual harassment in Lagos workplaces at 73.7%. So what that means is that 15 out of 20 workplaces in Lagos have had sexual harassment issues. Now, one of the people, a particular group tried to conduct a new study and they just published it. They're called Stand to End Rape. That study is what we've been talking about and we're going to talk about it until this hour ends. We're discussing what STAIR found out about the prevalence of harassment. We're talking about what forms it takes. We're talking about how people respond to it. And we're talking about how workplaces are handling it. This is not a women's issue, even though it disproportionately affects women, but it is a serious issue. It is a pervasive problem all over the world. It's worse in some places than in others, and Lagos is one of those some places. Now, back to that question that I was going to ask initially about only 9% of your respondents who were harassed reporting the incident to workplace authorities. What are the reasons for this low figure, Bisaya? What can workplaces do to increase this figure?
Okay, so when we released this study in 2020, when we started this study in 2020, we found out all these findings, like you just rightly said. And one of the major issues was that was unraveled was underreporting.
Okay.
So a lot of people did not want to report this incidents. Some people felt it, there will be nothing that will be done about it. Okay. Some people felt, I don't even want to put the person into trouble. You know, I don't even want to come out and, you know, everybody will start looking at me that, is this girl that is, you know, causing this, or is this boy that is causing this kind of trouble? So underreporting, a lot of underreporting was done, and it doesn't actually help to curb these issues, because if I don't have, you know, a lot of companies or everybody loves to work with facts or data, and if you don't have enough facts to actually bring up something up in the workplace as an issue, then it will continue being swept under the carpet. So
so how do we increase it? What can workplaces do to increase this figure?
Okay, exactly.
Get more and more people to report.
Okay. So one of the ways that workplaces can get more and more people to report is, first of all, there has to be a structure in place to even report.
Okay.
Part of our findings in this study was that so many organizations don't even have a workplace sexual harassment procedure or reporting channel. So if there's no place to even report, how do I even report these issues? So that is a major problem. A major red flag, you know, so that you can even have a channel to even say, oh, let me even respond to these issues. So first of all, that's the major problem with the corporate sector. Another issue is, even apart from the workplace sector, even in Nigeria as a whole, there's a huge underreporting. From data from NAPTIP, that's National Agency for, I think, People Trafficking or so, there was only about 32 cases of rape that was recorded from 2019 to 2020, which is underwhelmingly. It's just underwhelming because we know that these facts, these are not true. But these are the only people that actually came up to report. And another issue that we have here is this underreporting. It makes sure that nobody is even doing anything about it. So these perpetrators just go scot-free. They keep on targeting victims and keep on targeting victims and victims and victims until, you know, it just spirals out of control. So some of it, another thing that they can do apart from setting up workplace structure is providing employee support. So some supports that you can provide an employee that has even raised this issue up is some psychosocial support, therapy, because most of the respondents actually reported that they had anxiety, PTSD, you know, they had low morale at work, and some of them even resigned. So, and in a country where unemployment rate is skyrocketing, you know, it's just deepening our poverty, index, because these people probably would just go home and sit down at home and, you know, they're not adding to the economy. So providing employees proper psychosocial support, which are part of the services that we do at STEIR. You know, we provide psychosocial support to survivors. We also provide legal assistance as well to survivors. So, and these are things that we offer at STEIR, including trainings. We also offer trainings for organizations, and we don't just stop at trainings. We actually put in monitoring procedures to make sure that these structures do not fail.
All right. right, Lagos, let's have you join the conversation at this point. We want to hear from you. Let's have your questions about this study. Let's have your questions about workplace sexual harassment. Also tell us your views. You know, have you witnessed or faced sexual harassment at work? You can talk to us anonymously if you want to. Just try to keep the language sanitary because it's still daytime radio. How was it handled? Did you report? Does your workplace have anti-sexual harassment policies? Women, call me on 01465-7190. You can be anonymous if you want to be. 01465-7190 for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. And yes, there's WhatsApp, and we're streaming live on Facebook as well. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Our first caller is Frank in Alaba. Hi, Frank. Good to have you on the show.
Auntie Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening, ma.
Good evening, sir.
This kind of thing caused problem one certain time.
Okay.
A girl was looking for a job.
Okay.
And they demanded for something.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave and get the job.
Okay.
And the thing caused problem between the girl and the boyfriend.
Okay.
And the girl was asking, okay, is it better for she to stay at home and be doing nonsense? Instead of that, is it not for her to do it and get their job? Are you getting me now?
Okay.
So now, what I'm asking now is this. Is it not good for this lady to, as they are doing it now, let them make it, because me, I don't like it. When the lady will go to look for work, and she will be asking for sex before the giving that work. Is it not good if this person is qualified for that particular work? If they ask, let that person say, no, I am not doing. If they did not give her the work, let her go. And some of them will even, when they are going for an interview, they will be the ones self attracting the interviewers or the directors to do it and give them the job, which is not good. And again, in the working place, if somebody is giving you a gift, and you know that you are not, you don't like this person, reject those gifts. It's not when the person will keep collecting gifts, collecting money. Then when the person will say, okay, it is due time to for you to come and bring some returns, it will cause trouble. So let there be a platform that will teach these people when to collect and how to say no for some gifts. Let me stop the Auntie Sandra.
All right. Thank you, Frank, for calling. I'm curious, what did you hear that call?
Yeah.
Perhaps you should wear the headphones so that you hear the calls very well. Okay. What we have about 1 minute. Tell me what you thought about Frank's contribution.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with the later part of what he said about stop collecting the gifts, because collecting the gifts will actually... it might send a wrong signal,
okay,
you know, that, oh, okay, probably this person doesn't just want to verbally say yes, but is just keeps collecting the gifts and all that.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry for the person who was sexually harassed and had to, you know, I think she turned down the job.
No. She you know, she slept with a potential employer to get the job.
Okay.
So he's saying, don't give in to the harassment or the coercion, and instead, you know, go for the path where you lose the job.
Well, given the unemployment...
Hold that thought. We're going to go, so you can think about it a bit. Let's take a break. When we come back from this break, Lagos, we'll talk to Bisaya some more. She's a communications manager at Stand to End Rape. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 5:33. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. How can we end workplace sexual harassment? Communications manager for Stand to End Rape is on the show with me today trying to answer that question. Her name is Bisayo Deribigbe. And STAIR just finished a report. They just released a report where they tried to find out how pervasive sexual harassment in Nigerian workplaces was. and they found some pretty interesting things. And those findings is what we're talking about on the show today. Those findings are what we're discussing on the show today. So we've talked about the federal government laws, if there are any ones that target sexual harassment in the workplace in particular. And Bisara says nope. We've talked about how this study was conducted. We've talked about the respondents being from all working ages and being from both genders reporting harassment. So women getting harassed, men getting harassed, because I'm already seeing Facebook comments that are saying men getting harassed too. Yeah, they do. And if you were listening to Bisaya when we started, she specifically mentioned that as well. She said 85% of the respondents were women and 15% of the respondents who acknowledged that they had been sexually harassed in the workplace were men. Now, before the break, Frank called into the show and talked about a woman who, before she got a job, she was propositioned by the employer and she was coerced into having sex for the job. And so she did that and it led to problems between her and her boyfriend. And Frank's solution is, well, if you are propositioned, instead of doing that, how about you walk away from the job? And you were going to share your thoughts on that particular part of his opinion.
Yeah, so given the high unemployment rate in Nigeria, it might be tempting to actually go that route. But you can
tempting
also...
to go which route?
To succumb to
the
those
coercion.
Advances, mm-hmm. Yes. But there are also other routes to go through. You can actually seek legal help.
Okay.
Yeah. So these are things, part of the services that we do at STAY as well.
Okay.
So we help victims or some, let me say survivors.
Okay.
With legal assistance on, you can actually sue whoever.
So say I come to you now, Bisaya, and I want a job at Sandra & Co. Company, and you are the hiring manager, and I am a girl or I'm a guy, and I come to you and I say, hey, Bisaya, I'm here for the interview for the job, and you say to me, oh, this is very good, I love your CV, the only way you're going to get this job is if you, play ball with me, and I say to you, how dare you, go to hell, Bisaya, and my next step would be to what? Come to stare and sue? How does that work exactly?
Okay, so assuming the person was in the workplace, mm-hmm. in the same company, person has already started working in that company.
Oh, so that's where it's,
yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well, Frank wasn't talking about that. Frank was talking about just, a regular job seeker, kind of like Imo Moring, who unfortunately died. Kind of like her. She tried to get a job and ended up in the hands of a Frank, incidentally. And, we all know how that story ended.
Yes.
So, I mean, do you offer any kinds of services to people like that?
Well, if the person, so the person hasn't started working for that company.
No, just a job
seeker.
So
there's really, really not, no obligation. Like, you don't have to see that person every day. So it's either you take the job mm-hmm. or you don't take the job.
Okay.
So if you do take the job mm-hmm. and these advances still continue, mm-hmm. then you can report it. Like I said, if there is a procedure mm-hmm. in that company, you
for
can report
it.
Yes. And if you have reported it and nothing is being done, mm-hmm. you can also seek legal help as well.
Now, most workplaces do not have a sexual harassment policy. Most of those who do either do not enforce it or they do not emphasize it to their staff. Do you think laws can change this complacency?
Yes, obviously, laws can do that. And one of them is the ILO, International Labour Organization, ratification, that's C-190, and it's what it does is protects all employees, including third party staff,
okay.
from any form of violence or
who's
sexual
the third
harassment.
Party staff? Who's the third party staff?
Third party staff, like your suppliers, your
okay.
people that just have one way or the other, they have a connection with the company.
Organization, okay.
Yeah, most of the time it's suppliers or contractors.
Okay.
Yeah, so it covers third-party staff and
okay.
also employees in the organization from workplace sexual harassment and any form of violence, basically.
Are all organizations, I want to ask if they're signatories to this. Does it apply to them? Does this law apply to every organization?
If it is being ratified in Nigeria, mm-hmm. it will.
Oh,
it will. So currently, we have about 7 countries who have done this ratification, and Zimbabwe is actually spearheading this. They've already gone ahead to do like a national elimination strategy for prevention of workplace sexual harassment and gender-based violence in the workplace.
Impressive.
Yeah, other countries are like Uruguay, Somalia, Mauritius, Namibia, Fiji, Ecuador, and Argentina.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's actually possible for this to happen.
So how do we get Nigeria to get on board?
Yeah, so part of the things that can be done to make sure Nigeria gets on board is we have like lobbyist pressure groups, like NGOs like ours, you know, come together to like form a bill or create a policy brief that can be submitted to the Senate or the House of Representatives, and you know, it follows that process. It's being read in the House, and you know, it probably goes on into the passing of a bill, second reading, and the whole legal process that it takes.
Is there currently any work being done in that direction at the moment, to your knowledge?
Yes, from STAIR's point of view, we're actually kind of working on a kind of policy brief which we can submit to the Lagos State House of Representatives.
Oh, okay. I have to ask you though, what should a company's anti-sexual harassment policy look like? What should it contain? Because you mentioned that you also do trainings, you know, or you do like training sessions to help organizations craft their anti-sexual harassment policy. Yeah. So what should a company's anti-sexual harassment policy look like?
Okay. First of all, the policy should state what all the different forms of sexual harassment. So because if you don't know something, you can't tackle it. You can't fight it.
Okay.
So it contains all the different form of sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Would tell you how to treat employees who have faced sexual harassment in the past, giving psychosocial support, and also if you want to if you also need legal assistance, it also help you do that. And also we don't just train organizations on this subject matter, we follow through. So there's a monitoring procedure where a staff or an employee can report anonymously because many people are always scared that, I don't want to be known as the reporter or the whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
So that anonymous protection is always there. So we put in all those all those procedures and all those structures to make sure someone can even report and not get victimized for reporting.
I see. Now, you said something earlier on that I want to come back to. 35% of those who did not report said that they did not believe anything will be done. And over 80% of those who did report said that they did not feel supported by their employers. That's something I read in this study that was published by Stand to End Rape. Why does corporate Nigeria not take sexual harassment seriously?
Okay, so why they don't take sexual harassment seriously, like I said before, is underreporting, lack of evidence. You know, it's a gloomy topic, we'd rather not discuss about this, you know. And finally, the culture of victim blaming, victim shaming. You know, people will say, are you not the one that wore this dress to the office?
Mm.
Why don't you expect that kind of reaction? So these are reasons why corporate Nigeria doesn't really, really take it seriously.
Mm.
But the major reason is underreporting.
Mm.
So if something is not reported, it cannot even be brought up as an issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's one of the things that we should try to change, that culture of not reporting. And if you are in an organization and it's not happening to you directly, you don't just say, it's not me that is even happening to you. No, I'm not the one that is being harassed. You actually owe it to your colleagues to actually, form a whistleblowing to report the case on behalf of the person. Because the person might feel intimidated, but you can see that this is wrong. This is not meant to be.
Okay.
So we actually owe it to each other to look out for each other, to report these issues.
Okay.
Once we have data, we can act on data. We can always act on data.
I want to come back to that point you made about culture, right? Because alongside passing the right laws and getting companies to adopt the right policies, there are cultural and social and other levers that need to be applied to change behavior around both sexual harassment and the response to reports of sexual harassment. Can you talk to us about what some of these things are?
Okay, so in Nigeria, in fact, all over the world, there's this culture of victim blaming, victim shaming. Even when we've seen recently some allegations that came up, and even when you can even see that, oh my God, this person was harassed, you will still see comments on social media, oh, she was the one that went there, you know, she was the one that did this, or he was the one that made himself available. You know, all those kind of, all those comments, it really, really affects survivors to come out and speak up. So it's one culture that should be curbed seriously.
Okay.
Perpetrators, they breed on silence. Once you keep quiet, it's their energy, it's their power. It fuels them to keep looking for the next victim and the next victim and next victim. And if we don't speak up, there is no way we can tackle this issue.
But people do speak up. You have 80% of your respondents who said that they did speak up and it didn't change much. So, I mean, how do we move from we've spoken up to, okay, we're actually getting results?
Okay, so actually, that was 38% of the respondents that actually spoke up.
Okay.
It was 80% of that 38%
okay.
that they did not get any form of support from their employers.
Mm-hmm.
So they've reported already, but probably a verbal warning was given or, you know, something very, very flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we need to change. We need to curb and stop this kind of reaction. So if I bring up a workplace sexual harassment, I mean, we saw the Me Too movement and look at the heavy, heavy sanctions that were given on Steve, can't remember his name, Steve Einstein. I think Bill Cosby was even vindicated some a while back. And, you know, they follow these things through thoroughly.
Okay.
If you know, oh, if I harass someone at work now, I would be probably, I'll face a panel and it can lead to my termination of my employment or, you know, a legal lawsuit or something like that. It would actually stop this kind of behavior if the appropriate sanctions are given. So we have to respect each other at the workplace. It's not a place to, you know, come and harass people or make people feel intimidated because you're the boss, or if you don't give in to my sexual advances, I will not make you work. You know, all those things have to be dealt with seriously.
Lagos, let's talk. 01465-71904. Women, for men, 0700-993-993-993. Do you have questions about this study, Lagos? Do you have questions about workplace sexual harassment? Have you witnessed or faced sexual harassment at work? You can talk to us anonymously if you want to. You can also share your story with us, but just keep it sanitary because we are regulated and our regulators say that you cannot talk about these kinds of topics during the day. How was it handled? You know, your sexual harassment at work, how was it handled? Does your workplace have anti-sexual harassment policies? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Yes, you can speak to us anonymously if you would prefer that. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. And there's WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. Israel Harrison says, speaking of sexual harassment at workplaces, and we're just talking about the women being harassed, you know that men too are sexually harassed. Well, I've addressed that and I have mentioned that, yes, men are sexually harassed. We have talked about that as well. And I think the entire time Bisayo was talking, she tried to keep it gender neutral. She kept saying the person or the person, that person, you know. But Israel, thank you for your message. Benjamin in Ikeja, welcome.
Yeah, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sandra, I was listening to your guest on the most of the points she makes on the white and the it's prevalent in it everywhere. And I just want to make a contribution.
Okay.
And my contribution is that, you see, like she said, in the case of the laws put in place in the case of Nigeria today, it's also good that we have laws for the perpetrators of this crime because it's heinous. And at the same time, not only that, the young children we have today, they are into this kind of situation. And it's prevalent as well. And at the same time, I would love that government should put a law. And the system we're having as Nigerians, our laws are weak. If you look at the level of our laws are weak, if it happens that our laws are really working as it is, I think the way the situation is prevalent everywhere, it shouldn't have been like that. Because somebody who is seeking for a job and at the end of the day, a lady or a man, seeking for a job and you're asking for social benefits before you give him a job and not even his merits or his qualification. So, and those things are common everywhere in the offices today and which is very bad. What we are asking is that this government can put the machinery in place and at the same time, not only that again, there should be a kind of those people who find themselves in such condition, they should be enlightenment. They should be public enlightenment so that if situation comes like this, they should be able to find one or two things as an evidence to track such people down because they're everywhere. We can't see. They might be in your doorstep. They might be in any place, but you can't see. But if there should be a public enlightenment, it would be good for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got Olushola who says, a friend of my girlfriend was called for an interview in an organization. When she got there, the man that called her for the interview was trying to seduce and touch her, but the girl ran out. The man continued to call her phone. The girl later opened up to her boyfriend, and her boyfriend called the man to stop calling his girlfriend, and if he doesn't stop, he'll report to the Lagos state government. When the man heard, he now tendered an apology and stopped calling her. Man, how do we protect job seekers? Because the way it currently is, it seems to me that the job seeker is basically at the mercy of the hiring manager. We have more people sending us messages via WhatsApp. Sandra, nice talk today. Some ladies put themselves in a compromising position just to get laid for a job or promotion favor. That's a message from Grant. Grant is in Ikeja. Sandra, Philip Inaja says, monkey will not stop the supply of banana. That harassment bill will take time in Nigeria, where men like to do. Ladies must stop harassing men by dressing well to work. We must be honest, understand that ethics work and help conduct ourselves. We have two types of sexual harassment, verbal and non-verbal, which most ladies take advantage of. So he's saying that dressing well to work is non-verbal sexual harassment. That's what Philip Inaja is saying. Bisaya, what do you say?
Part of the, I think most organizations have a dress code policy.
Right.
Yeah, so what is your company's policy? You know, are you business casual or are you just straight up formal?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that has actually been implemented in most organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's left to HR to actually spell out exactly what kind of clothing is allowed in the workplace so that it doesn't tend to sexual harassment.
Okay. We've got a message here. There's need for men to speak up against it. This will make it faster to halt sexual harassment. Do you agree? Is this something you agree with, Bisaya?
Yeah, sure. We have male survivors. We have female survivors. So the thing is, again, goes back to victim blaming or culture shaming. Nigerian culture believes, the guys are the, they are, how will I put it now? They are the ones who are, the stronger sex or, that things like that cannot happen to a man.
Mm.
Most people believe that. But, because, and again, a lot of men are like, oh, let's do hard guy. Let's not talk about it, you know, in public. What would they say? That, oh, a man was sexually harassed.
I think what that listener was talking about was men themselves need to speak up against it.
Yeah.
As in, what that person meant was like, you know, be an advocate for anti-sexual harassassment. You know, I think that's what that person was talking about.
Yeah, I understand. I'm going to that. I'm actually going to that point.
Okay.
So a lot of men are like, oh, let's not even talk about this because, you know, what is it going to... Is that victim, be what they call it, culture shaming, that, oh, how can you say you experienced workplace sexual harassment? Are you not the one that is meant to be, you know, giving, you know, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So men are actually not speaking up about it because they are already like, they fear that, oh, how will he look like
with amongst
exactly
peers.
Amongst my peers.
All right, let's leave it at that. And thank you, Bisayo. She's the communications manager at Stand and Rape. We're going to take a look at this report some more, perhaps in the future. But that's all the time we have on Hard Facts Today, Lagos. Thanks for being a part of this show. Listen again online. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Those are your Hard Facts, Lagos.